It's been said that music has its own sermon. This particular song is one that I think has one. I was particularly drawn to the third verse. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world, by darkness slain. The darkness of sin is what slew our Savior. And then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. For I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. It's a wonderful, wonderful song, wonderful words. I heard a song this week. It's been out for a while, but I think I might have heard it once or twice before, but this particular time it really drew my attention, and I'm sure those of you who know the group Casting Crowns has heard the only scars in heaven are the scars on my Savior's hand, because we won't have anything. There will not be any scars. There will not be any sadness or anything else. And we will be in perfection, like as the body of Christ. For a text this morning, I'd like to read from the book of Romans, chapter 3, and beginning with verse 19 and reading through verse 28. It's Romans chapter 3, beginning with the 19th verse, and reading the words in Jesus' name. Now we know that what things soever the law says, it says to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believes in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Amen. Heavenly Father, this morning we come before you, petitioning you, as even has already been stated, that what we would hear are your words, and that, Father, that you would lift our hearts up, and that we would be nourished, and that we would be strengthened, and that we could rejoice in these words because of your great love for us. So, Holy God, we pray that you would be here today, and that you would speak to us and give to us the encouragement that we need to go on. Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Sometimes vacations don't do a lot of good for your voice. Now we know that whatever things the law says, it says to them who are under the law that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. The Apostle Paul is addressing the situation of the law and those who were still living under it, primarily the scribes, the Pharisees, and those of the Old Testament, the Old Dispensation, if you will. But what he says here, he's telling them that we know that whatever the law says, it says to them that are under the law, that still believe it, that still recognize it as being something that they need to follow. And what Paul is telling him, and when he says that every mouth may be stopped, that every mouth would not proclaim their innocence through the law. Because they aren't innocent. We aren't innocent. There is none living today that can look at the law and proclaim their innocence and proclaim that they are justified because they live under it. Because that just isn't so. Else why would Christ have come? And then he goes on, he says, and all the world may be guilty before God. If there was no salvation through the blood of Christ, the whole world would be guilty before God. The whole world would have to answer for what it is that they did or have done or are going to do or even thought of. But he goes on, he says, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. It's the guidepost. It's the guideline that we follow. Let me ask you, without the law, would you know that you are living in sin? No. Because where there is no law, there is no sin. There is no speed limit sign out there. Everyone else is going 35, you're doing 50. Are you breaking the law? No, because there's nothing out there to tell you what it is. The law is there to teach us. And I thought of it in this way, just how perfect our God is. Because the laws that he set forth with Moses and the laws that he required of his people were perfect. There were no little side venues. There were no little areas where they might be able to go and escape, because the laws were perfect. Because God is perfect. So there are no deeds of the law, and there is no flesh that will be justified in his sight. Because by the law there is the knowledge of sin. And we recognize and we understand, and we can't come up with an excuse. Well, I don't really know exactly what that meant, so I'll go ahead and do it anyway. No, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. We know what it means. And that Holy Spirit that lives today inside of each and every believer is also the one that directs our path. That Holy Spirit that lives today is the one that reminds us that you're going down a bad road right now. Don't continue. And reminds us that what we may want to partake of is not good in the sight of God. And even the righteousness of God, which is by faith. Now, there's an interesting point now. Let's go back up to verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, made witness by the law and the prophets. The righteousness of God, and as I already said, the righteousness of God is exemplified through the law. It is perfect. But then he goes on and he says in verse 22, even the righteousness of God which is by faith, and what is the next word there? Of, not in. As we so often will proclaim it that way, that we are saved by faith in Christ. But here it says, of Christ. That, I had a bit of a difficulty with that one. And so started to do a little bit of study on it. Some translations will say in Christ, some translations will say of Christ. Neither one of them are wrong. Neither one are wrong. But simply put, when we would say that we have faith in Christ, That is where our faith is coming from. We have it in what he did for us. We have faith in what he, the penalty that he paid. We have faith in him because that's what Scripture tells us. But when you, and it's not wrong to go either direction. But when it says, as it says here, which is by faith of Jesus Christ upon all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, which is another subject, but having faith of Christ is a reflection back to when he died, when he was upon that cross. What did he do? He took upon the sin of the world. He took upon himself our sin. But what else? He took upon himself by faith, because Christ was true man. He had to have faith. He had to have the same type of faith as what we have today. Only his faith was in his Father. His faith was in God. And he did according to what God would have him do. When he was in the Garden of Eden and prayed that, Father, if it be thy will, take this cup from me. Do you think for a moment that he wasn't struggling? And that faith was uplifting him? He had to have had it. Otherwise, he would not recognize how difficult it is for us at times. How difficult it would be for us if we didn't have faith. Even the righteousness of Christ, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. Or the righteousness of God, I'm sorry. He trusted in God, and he knew the plan was perfect. And he had to go through it as a man. And he did. And he was justified. And then he goes on and says that, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Paul is making sure that the audience that he's writing this to understands that there is no difference when it comes to a faith of a believer. There is no difference for those who believe. It doesn't matter what your nationality is. It doesn't matter your skin color. It doesn't matter anything about you. What matters is, do you believe in the blood of Christ and what it did for you and the salvation that you can attain through it? That's what matters. Because God doesn't look at color. God looks at the person as a saved soul. Nothing else matters. Nothing at all. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's no one out there that can say they're better than others. There's no one out there, there's not one person today or anywhere today that can look back and say that I've lived a perfect life. I don't know of anybody that's walked on water. Peter tried to. We know how that turned out. God is perfect. Christ was perfect. And we have all sinned and we have all fallen short of what it is that God would have us to do. Then he goes on, he says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now there's something that I was reading in one of my studies, and it has to do with, actually, that has to do with verse 22 more than anything else. But it's something that Martin Luther wrote, and he was specifically addressing faith. He had a difficult time at first. He had a difficult time understanding the righteousness of God. I can't say that I've always fully understood. But he wrote something that was, for me anyway, was uplifting and kind of hit a point. But faith, living by faith, is not a description on how we live, but rather by how we are righteous. We are righteous before God. Why? Because of our faith. That's how we are righteous, because we believe in what Christ did. We continue to live because of our faith. But we are described as being righteous, and that's the most important part. And then he goes on to say, he says, the righteousness of faith is nothing else than the forgiveness of sins and the gracious adoption of the poor sinner for the sake of Christ's obedience and merit alone. Would we have a choice, or would we have any chance at all if Christ disobeyed? No, not at all. Forgiveness of sins and the gracious adoption of the poor sinner for the sake of Christ's obedience and merit, because of what he did, was perfect. Then he goes on, he says, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. There's a couple different thoughts here. Whom God has set forth to be a satisfaction. Now that's a very kind of an overly simplified term to use in lieu of propitiation. But if we study that term, if we study the term propitiation, it goes back to Exodus, the book of Exodus. And it talks about the Ark of the Covenant. And there was a Greek term that described the cover that fit on the ark. And for the life of me, I'd never be able to pronounce it properly, so I'm not even going to try. But the beauty of it is that this is what the high priest would sprinkle the blood on of the animal that was sacrificed, animal, bird, whatever it happened to be. And this sprinkling of the blood indicate and signified that the sin was forgiven. It was a visual thing that could be seen. But so is Christ's righteousness, and it covers the sinner. This term propitiation relates to the salvation that we have attained. We have attained it through the blood of Christ and how he suffered. I know I'm probably oversimplifying it, and I know I may not be describing it fully, but it's something to look up. It's something to study, because there is a significant meaning in it. Indeed, it was satisfaction. God was satisfied now because of the blood of Christ that he let on the cross. God was satisfied with that perfect form. He was satisfied that now all sin can be forgiven. And it's done through the faith in his blood. But then he goes on, he says, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. The forgiveness of sins that are past. What is it that he's talking about? He's talking about the children of Israel who were living in the Old Testament times. Those forgivenesses, or those sins that they committed, God gave them a way out, and that was through the sacrifice of animals. He didn't neglect it, and he didn't say that, okay, well, I'm just going to let it slide and we're not going to worry about these things. And no, that wasn't the point. Through his forbearance, through his patience, he waited through the course of however many years, 2,000 years or whatever it happened to be. He waited until his son paid that price on the cross. And at that point, the blood that his son shed, at that point, after his resurrection from the dead, all sin was covered, both the old and the new. It was completely covered. That's how precious and how total and complete God's plan is. It doesn't leave any corners untouched. It doesn't leave any little tiny incident left. It's total and it's complete. He declares his righteousness, that are the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God, through his patience. That's a lot of patience. Some 2,000 years of a kid people, and how many times did the children of Israel rebel? How many times did they do things that were contrary to what God would have them do? What did Moses do? He rebelled, or thought of himself as being something. And because of that, God did not allow him into the promised land. And yet he still loved him. And yet he still was saved because of the blood of Christ. And so he says, to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believes in Jesus. He is just, and he is the justifier of him which believes in Jesus. To be justified is to be found not guilty. Can you look back on your life and find anything that you don't feel that you haven't been found not guilty? I know for myself, there's some things I can't. I just marvel in the fact that God has forgiven me. I marvel in the fact that his love for me was such that it's all done. It's all washed away. It's all clean. So where is the boasting? Is it is excluded. By what law? The works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Works means nothing. Now that's not to say we don't, if we see somebody in need, we don't do it because, you know, well, we don't need to be doing any works anymore. No, that's not what it's all about. That's not what it's all about at all. We do those things, we help out in areas where we can, simply because of what we believe. Our salvation is such. Christ died for us. And he wants us to be concerned of others. And he says, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. We don't have to do anything for it. It's there for us to take. It's there for us to grasp a hold of his blood and his resurrection. You just got to hang on to it. Sometimes it's pretty difficult. There are times when you go through different things, aspects in life, that you go through things that are, gee, I wish this was over, or I wish it would come to fruition, or whatever happens to be that you're going through. Well, God knows what's happening. He knows what you're going through. And that's why I have this little note here, and I look at it from time to time. Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Grab a hold of that. Hang on to it. Because there's times where Satan's going to be there and he's going to try to keep you from believing. But remember, and this is God's promise, and he is not slack in his promises. I will never leave you nor forsake you, because we believe in what he did for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we thank you for your words. We thank you, Father, for that precious and great love that you have for us. We pray, God, that we would continually look and we could continually understand that indeed it was because of your great love through your Son, our Savior, that we could even know that one day we will be with you. So, Father, we thank you for that. We ask now that you would bless us and keep us, that you would make your face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us, that you would lift up your countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.